Thank you, Veronica, very much for the very clear presentation. I wish that SEC Chairman Atkins could have heard you. And you also made my job a lot easier discussing the paper. Thanks for putting on this great conference. Thanks to everybody who has facilitated the way it's been working so far. Just a brief high-level summary, and I really don't have to do this because Veronica made it very clear what the paper's doing. I think I only want to comment on why I think this is an important kind of study. Many of you might have seen Ray Ball's paper, 2023, figuring out why accounting matters, especially when it comes to macroeconomic effects. And this is really one of the papers that looks at the economic role of an accounting regime on a welfare in an economy. And that's really the kind of questions I think that we're interested in. In terms of method, you outlined very well the regression design. My comments will be somewhat selective. I'm not going to talk too much about the volatility-related results, but I'm going to focus more on the capital inflows, so your first analysis, equation one. I think this paper is right on the money for this conference, as we said, right? The call for papers talked about the costs and benefits of IFRS adoption. It's exactly what you're doing. And by the way, this week's IFRS Advisory Council meeting was very much focused on how can the IFRS Foundation amass evidence of the benefits of adopting IFRS in certain jurisdictions, right? And that's exactly what you're contributing to as well. And there's also been a very interesting keynote speech at a conference a few weeks ago in Canada. Christina Bochkai, who is an academic advisor to the ISSB, she has been making the point that in accounting research, we should really dig more deeply into what she calls average effects, right? So average effects, IFRS adoption globally, right? There's an average effect of IFRS adoption globally on whatever. And let's dig more deeply into the heterogeneity in these average effects. And you do that. You do this for a set of countries that have arguably been understudied so far. So when reading the paper, I got intrigued to figure out what is going on. So I'm going to make some points about what I think could be useful for extending the paper. So I'm starting with a very simple directed acyclic graph, a kind of a causal diagram to figure out, okay, what's driving what here. And so the basic story is IFRS adoption causally affects capital flows, right? And that's convincing, right? But then we know, of course, that there are other drivers in play as well. So Anne has a paper that comes up with proxies for the strength of an audit and enforcement regime in a country. Christensen et al. Show that audit and enforcement especially, matters very much in bringing about the benefits of IFRS adoption. So the complementary role of enforcement, I think, could be explored more in your paper too. It's not that by omitting enforcement as a variable, you would bias your coefficient. That's not the problem. So it's not an omitted variable problem, I think. But it would, of course, bring greater nuance to your results. So to what extent are you observing an IFRS adoption effect per se? And to what extent are you showing that IFRS adoption is really part of a package that includes enforcement and other institutional changes, some of which you control for, others you don't control for? And then, of course, since this is a study that seeks to show a causal effect, which is what we're interested in here, right? I also, of course, had to think about, okay, are there potential confounders? So the infamous Z variables out there that drive both the IFRS adoption decision at the country level and the outcomes under study, right? And one of the potential confounders that I came up with come from a paper by Karthik Ramana and Ewa Slatin in 2014 it was. They say basically that IFRS adoption benefits those countries especially that have network effects with other IFRS adopting countries. And they come up with this with this proxy for network effects. And their results suggest that these network effects might be a confounder in your study, and I think controlling for them in a very similar way to how they were doing this might actually help you pinpoint and de-bias the IFRS coefficient in your analysis. So that might be something to look at. I'm not sure you've seen that paper before. So that could be an interesting way to go. And also similar to what you've mentioned, so the difference between Latin American countries that are more involved with the EU, IFRS countries, versus more involved with US GAAP companies, you would expect the IFRS adoption effect to differ, right? So if the network benefits accrue to those countries that are trading with other IFRS nations, they should have a larger IFRS adoption effect than those that trade with non-IFRS countries like the US, for example. Now, causality. We all get obsessive about causality, I know. And you seem to understand this better than many of us, I think. I think you're a unique animal in that you seem to know much, much more than I ever will about macroeconomic effects of these things and figuring out how regulation has a causal effect. So that's important because we're really interested in, you know, what happens if we adopt IFRS. What will causally happen to variables like capital flows? Clearly, getting to a foolproof causal identification is almost impossible in archival studies. We know that, and nobody will blame you. But you can do a little more, I think, to get a bit closer. So thinking about a control sample, perhaps, right? Doing a kind of a diff design, maybe you can identify a cluster of countries that are somewhat similar to those that you're looking at, but have been adopting IFRS maybe earlier, maybe so the Southeast Asian tigers, for example, or not at all, or maybe later even, right? So kind of looking at a diff type design. You can also tell us much more, I think, about the adoption journeys of these six countries. So what were the stories behind them coming onto IFRS? Was it maybe they came on as a group because they had this network in place? Why did they come on so late? What were the drivers? Understanding the drivers will also help us understand more about what drives the effects ultimately. And then you mentioned that there's lots of data on company level factors of IFRS adoption, right? Company level differences. And I wonder if you could not explore this a bit more. Maybe you will find that capital inflows to specific companies will vary depending on company characteristics. So that could help you perhaps drill down a bit more into the contagion versus transparency effects. So we would expect that companies that adopt IFRS seriously versus those that adopt IFRS as a label would benefit more from the IFRS adoption effect, right? So going to the company level might be interesting. My final big remark is about the IFRS adoption score, and clearly you know exactly what you have here in terms of variation in IFRS adoption. The dummy doesn't cut it at all, so you know that. So there's the different aspects, and you lay them out very transparently in the paper. But then ultimately you have to put them all into a big funnel and come up with a variable that is distributed between 0 and 100%, right? And that is how people have been doing this. So the Romano paper does a very similar aggregation. But it still mixes up the different aspects. And we would really like to know, what is it about IFRS adoption that makes these effects? Is it mandatory versus voluntary? Is it consolidated versus single financial statements? Is it the translation? What is it, right? So what you could do is you could decompose the adoption score into individual dummies for each of the different aspects, right? So you could have a set of dummies instead of a composite score. So you would know exactly what aspect is driving what. And one more of those dummies perhaps to include could be a variable that showed up in a prior study, the distance of IFRS from the previous domestic gap. So that might also be a driver of the effect as well. Good. Two minor points. I was convinced by the capital inflow variable, but then you standardize it by GDP, right? And that makes sense to get a size comparison, but what happens if, for example, GDP shifts a lot? You do control for GDP growth, but I'm not sure that does the same thing as actually controlling for the denominator instead of scaling the variable by the denominator, include the denominator in the regression instead. Mm-hmm. So you get rid of that denominator problem in the variable itself. And finally, I had a study once where I was also trying to get at volatility based on very few data points. And I racked my brain about how can this be done, right? And it's hard. And you have a very elegant way of doing this, right? You do the Garch model, and you basically create volatility from very few observations on a quarterly basis. That's really elegant. I like that. But it of course imposes certain assumptions on your data. So the volatility has to be very well behaved for you to capture correctly. So that might be something to acknowledge and perhaps do the less attractive version of volatility, that standard deviations, as a robustness test. That's really all I have to say about that. So a very valuable focus on these South American countries, I think. Citing Ball again, right? The partial correlations and average effects, they might actually, mask or mislead about what's really going on when you drill into the heterogeneity. So that's something that that you could do a bit more of. It's a bit like this average animal problem, right? So the zoologist comparing elephants and cranes and crocodiles and figuring out what's the average length these animals can fly, right? So the average doesn't really mean much unless you drill down into what drives the heterogeneity. And I think that's something you have lots of opportunities to do with the data you have, and clearly the knowledge you have allows you to do that as well. So good luck with the paper, and I think I anticipate that the standards will also be very interested in it. Okay, thank you.